An excerpt from Harry Potter and the Death Eater Menace, Chapter 46, Redux, Aftermath, by the Sinister Man, read by Sam Gabriel, based on the works of J.K. Rowling. 29 March, 1994. Harry Potter awoke from a deep and troubled sleep to find that he was no longer in his bed or even in his dorm room. Rather, he found himself lying on a cold stone floor in a most unexpected location. It was the lobby of Gringotts Bank, completely empty save for a pair of goblin janitors who were busily mopping the floors to clean up several puddles of water.
"Ah, Harry Potter, you're finally here."
The voice came from behind him, and Harry turned around to see a goblin in a more professional attire calling to him from a nearby office. The Slytherin squinted and realized that he recognized the figure.
"You're Griphook, right? My accounts manager?" Harry asked cautiously.
The goblin's eyebrows rose fractionally.
"You remember my name? Impressive. Most wizards are too stupid or arrogant ever to do so."
"Thanks, I think," Harry said while looking around the building nervously. He still had no idea how he'd gotten here, but he was perturbed still to be in his pajamas and, worse, without a wand.
"Why am I here, Mr. Griphook?" he asked. "For that matter, how did I get here? And also, why is the floor wet?"
"In order asked. An important meeting. A portkey concealed under your pillow, and that's not important right now."
"Okay. What important meeting?"
"Just step this way, Mr. Potter, and I'll explain in my office. You see, things started moving much faster than we anticipated, and the bank decided it was vital that we communicate with you before it was too late."
With that, Griphook headed back into the office with Harry following behind.
"Too late for what?"
"Too late to prevent the Dark Lord from stealing your birthright and using it to take over the entire nation."
By this point, Griphook had taken a chair behind a massive mahogany desk, and Harry sat carefully down in the chair across from it while bearing a shocked and confused expression.
"The Dark Lord? What? Voldemort is trying to steal my inheritance or something?"
"Voldemort? That faker? No, Mr. Potter. It's the real Dark Lord we're talking about. The greatest Dark Lord in history. And the man truly responsible for all the misfortunes to hinder you and your family since the day you were born. But this time we've got him. Now, we'll see to it that that old dumb-as-a-door finally gets what's coming to him."
Harry blinked twice. Then he blinked three more times.
"Dumb-as-a-door? Are you perhaps referring to Albus Dumbledore?"
"Shh!" Griphook hissed violently. "We goblins do not speak his true name, Mr. Potter. For it is said that he knows when people speak his name in ways he does not like. Knows, and takes vengeance. So we always use other names to describe him."
"You mean like, you know who?"
"Pfft, no. That'd be a stupid name to use. Because what would happen if you tried to talk about the Dark Lord with someone who did not, in fact, know who you were talking about?"
"Yeah, I suppose that makes sense. So instead you call him Dumb as a Door?"
Griphook nodded.
"That, or Bumblebore, or Mumblecore. Or sometimes just that miserable old fucker."
Harry slowly raised his hands to his face and rubbed it across his mouth while he processed all of that.
"So what exactly do you think Mumblecore is up to?"
"Why, he's trying to steal your birthright," Griphook exclaimed. "We know that he's already tricked you into giving up your Potter inheritance, though we believe we can save the others."
"Mr. Griphook,"
Harry began somewhat irritably, only to pause when a drop of water landed on his head from somewhere up above. He glanced up as he wiped his fingers through his hair, but he saw no signs of a leaky ceiling.
"Mr. Griphook, the headmaster did not trick me into anything, and why would he even want to?"
"Because," the goblin said patiently, "he needs your assets in order to consolidate his dictatorial control over this entire country. That is why, all those years ago, he confounded your parents into sending you to live with muggles."
Harry's mouth opened and closed helplessly as he struggled with basic communication.
"Griphook, what dictatorial control? He's the headmaster at a boarding school."
Ah, but he's also the chief warlock.
Which is mostly a ceremonial position.
And who told you that?
Harry rolled his eyes. Originally, Bumblebore did. Griphook started to rant, but Harry cut him off.
But afterwards, I looked it up, and his description was correct.
Looked it up where?
Griphook said suspiciously.
In the Hogwarts Library.
And who controls the Hogwarts Library, huh? Who removes all books that might reveal the depths of his duplicity? Crumblemore!
Harry stared dully.
I'd like to go home now, Mr. Griphook.
But we haven't even gone through the list of your lordships.
Harry started to respond, but caught himself.
Lordships? As in plural?
Griphook said nothing. He simply opened a file and handed Harry a long sheet of parchment. At the top were the words Lord Potter, which had been crossed out with a line. Below that was the name of the family whose lordship he was posed to claim very soon. Below that was written, Lord Black, upon death of Sirius Black. After that, things got weird.
Lord Slytherin through Lily Potter, the boy read aloud. Lord Ravenclaw through Lily Potter. Lord Gryffindor through James Potter. Lord Hufflepuff through Rite of Conquest?
He looked up at the goblin in utter confusion.
Griphook, none of the founders had Wizengamot seats, or were ever lords or ladies. And how the hell did I gain the Hufflepuff lordship, which doesn't exist, through Rite of Conquest?
We have learned through reliable sources that you stabbed the cup of Hufflepuff with a basilisk fang and destroyed it, the goblin said solemnly. That was enough.
Destroying one of Helga Hufflepuff's heirlooms lets me inherit a lordship which still doesn't exist? Helga Hufflepuff has living heirs. The noble house of Smith. Zachariah Smith only mentions it every time he opens his mouth.
Granted, Zach Smith is a complete wanker. Justin says he keeps going on insane and horribly off-color rants about Quidditch. And for some reason, he keeps referring to Justin as Jay Finch, but still, how Smith exists.
Griphook glowered at Harry's interruption.
As I was saying, I'm sure you already know that you are the heir of Slytherin due to your inheritance from your mother, said the long-suffering goblin.
Debatable, Harry snapped. But go on.
But what you likely did not know is that one of Slytherin's daughters eloped with the Squib's son of Rowena Ravenclaw. While both of their parents disowned their respective children for the scandal, one of the descendants of that union later married into the Muggle Evans family many generations later. As Ravenclaw's only other child died without issue, that makes you the heir of Ravenclaw.
Kay and Gryffindor?
Well, the last surviving offspring of Godric Gryffindor married into the Peverell family in the 11th century, at which point those lines merged. Later, a Peverell of that line married into House Potter, with the remainder of the house going extinct later. At that point, both the Gryffindor and Peverell lordships were subsumed into House Potter.
Which I'm being disinherited from on Saturday.
Exactly! Griphook yelled while banging his little fist on the table. That's why we needed you to come here tonight, so that you could claim those lordships before you're forced out of House Potter. That way, as the heir of all four founders, you'll be able to seize control of Hogwarts itself and force Stumblewore out.
Harry stared at the goblin, who he was now quite certain had gone mad, and then turned back to the parchment. There were even more lordships for him to claim, a lot more, some by obscure bloodline connections, some by right of conquest, and some by...
Hang on, Harry said angrily. This is I get four lordships through betrothal contracts, signed years or even centuries before I was born.
That's perfectly valid, Griphook said calmly.
That's bigamy, Harry spat.
Not for the lord of an ancient and noble house, young wizard. The Inheritance Act of 1588 specifically allows for legalized harems for lords of the Wizengamot when necessary to preserve dying and dormant houses, or if they just really want to. But only the males. Ladies can still only have one husband apiece.
Why the difference between lords and ladies?
The goblin shrugged.
Family values, perhaps. Or maybe the Wizengamot wanted to promote ethics in gaming journalism.
Harry sighed. Never mind. I'm not even going to argue about harems. The Inheritance Act is where the ultimate sanction came from, so I'm willing to accept any amount of stupidity from it.
He looked down again at the parchment, which he noticed had gotten damp from water dropping onto it from above.
Harry looked up again, but could still see no signs of a leak in the room, so he returned to the parchment. There were even more houses listed further down for which he could potentially claim a lordship, including many that he'd never heard of. House Atreides, House Lannister, and House Belmont, House Coat, House Fly, and House Plant. How many lordships are on this list? Harry asked.
There are 37 houses to which you may assert a claim, Mr. Potter, said the goblin. But you cannot claim them all, as Wizengamot law says you can only wear one lord's ring per digit.
So a maximum of 10? Griphook coughed in embarrassment.
21, Mr. Potter. You see, like most wizards, but not most witches, of course, you have 10 fingers, 10 toes, and—
Is there a flue around here I could use? Harry interrupted while looking around the office for an escape route. Then another drop of water hit him on the top of the head.
Also, what's with the water? Do you have a burst pipe or something?
Moving on, Mr. Potter,
the goblin said, ignoring the question even as he produced yet another sheet of parchment.
We must also see to undoing the blocks that Fumblesaw placed on you in your infancy that have prevented you from tapping into more than the tiniest fraction of your true power. That's why you're such a weak wizard, despite your illustrious ancestry.
Harry glared at the goblin. I'm consistently second in my year behind a certified genius. I'm an Occlumens, a natural legilimens, a potential metamorphmagus, and I mastered a wandless spell while falling to my death from half a mile up in the air.
True, Griphook conceded. But imagine how much better you'd be doing without all those damn blocks on you.
With that, he handed over the second parchment, which Harry snatched out of his hand and began to read. Occlumency, 50% blocked. Legilimency, 50% blocked. Metamorph Magery, 90% blocked. Animagery, 90% blocked. He looked up at the goblin in confusion.
I can't be both a Metamorphmagus and an Animagus. They're mutually exclusive gifts.
Mutually exclusive for most wizards,
Griphook said suggestively, while tapping the side of his nose with a clawed finger. The boy glared at him even harder before returning to the list. True Sight, 100% blocked. Necromancy, 100% blocked. Wushido, all styles to complete mastery, 100% blocked.
Wushido, Harry said through gritted teeth, is a learned skill that takes years or even decades to fully master. How could it possibly be something I was born with, but that the headmaster has blocked?
Rumble Whore's powers are truly as mysterious as they are malicious, but it's true. Once we get those blocks off...
I'll know magical kung fu,
Harry asked sarcastically. Will I be good enough to dodge the killing curse?
When the time comes, Mr. Potter,
Griphook said portentously.
You won't need to.
Harry stared at the goblin for several seconds while waiting on him to explain that cryptic remark. Then he realized what a waste of time that was and returned once more to the parchment. Shadow manipulation, 100% blocked. Weather control, 100% blocked. Weird invisible tentacles that grow out of your back, 100% blocked. Preternatural sex appeal, 100% blocked. Regeneration, you know, like Wolverine, 100% blocked.
Griphook,
Harry finally said angrily, even as he wiped another icy water drop off the side of his face.
Is this all just some kind of stupid joke?
The goblin suddenly favored Harry with a broad grin that showed off his sharp, jagged teeth, even as streams of water suddenly fell from the ceiling all around them.
April Fools!
He yelled in a voice that sounded less like a goblin and more like that of Theo No-Name. With that, Harry suddenly heard the roar of a great waterfall coming from very nearby. He looked up in shock and horror as the ceiling opened, and a massive flood came gushing down straight for him. Harry sat up in his bed with a loud scream in response to the bucket of cold water that had just landed on his face. Theo No-Name, his fellow Slytherin, and the person currently holding the bucket, laughed merrily.
I always love it when you scream like that, he said with a grin. It's like your catchphrase or something.
Harry gasped and shook the water out of his hair. Apparently, that bizarre dream he'd just had was his natural legilimency's way of trying to wake him up while someone was sneaking up on his sleeping form. Someone armed with a bucket of water. That, or he had some subconscious desire to form a harem.
What the hell, Theo?
The boy was unrepentant.
Well, you did ask me to make sure you got it before dawn, and this seemed like an efficient way to do it. Also, April Fools! April 1st is next week, Theo!
Harry snarled.
Yeah, but you'll be gone on next week for Easter break, so I need to distract preemptively. Of course you realize,
Harry said as his wand leaped from his nightstand into his waiting hand.
This means war!
Theo laughed again as he easily dodged a quick stinging jinx and then ran out of the room with his best and wettest friend following close behind.